You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Like these two previous exhortations, this one springs from the truth of the gospel, which transcends all of your circumstances. When it goes well for you, bless the Lord. When you feel like an utter failure, bless the Lord and mean it. God is still at work. Give thanks to Him. Please don't misunderstand. God's not saying give thanks for the evil. He's not saying give thanks for the temptation. He's not saying give thanks for the loss. Give thanks for the misery. Give thanks for the pain. You give thanks not for everything, but in everything.
Do you have a hard time giving God thanks in all circumstances? In his lesson today, Pastor Tom will encourage you to find the good that God is doing or recognize the good in his character and thank him for that. In the midst of difficulties, choose to recognize that God is working all things for good and be grateful that he is faithful to fulfill all his promises. With the power of the Holy Spirit, pray for eyes of faith to see God's light in your darkness. God is the same God before, during, and after trials and tragedies. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as he continues his message, A Three-Ingredient Godly Feast.
Doesn't matter what we face. Some are poor and they rejoice in the Lord more than those that are rich. You see? Some are not in a great marriage, but they're rejoicing more than those who are in a great marriage. And yes, that's possible. You don't find unbelievers joyful when things go south in their life. You'll find them stoic, stiff upper lip, deal with life. You'll find them trying to shrug it off. I can handle it. You find them defiant and angry, unsettled, trying to fix everything. Or you find them depressed, sour, and sarcastic. But you will not find them having joy in the midst of their pain. They don't have the resources for that. You do. See, from a human perspective, there's really nothing to rejoice about in life. I mean, you're born, you know, we live, we work, we pay taxes, we put up with selfish people, we get sick, and then we die. God's perspective is completely different. He says, live by faith and you'll have joy. God has given you freedom. God has given you everlasting life. God has given you meaningful relationships, purposeful work, hope, riches to come. As we think on these things, there should be this bubbly zest to the Christian life that is there all of the time. Christians are people who are glad to live out the implications of their faith now. Persecution will not diminish your joy because it is an honor to suffer shame for the name. Hard work does not diminish your joy in the Lord because you know all of your work in the Lord is not in vain. Loss of a job cannot diminish your joy because God is obviously guiding you on to some other way in which he will now provide for you and show you how great he is. Nor can loss of a loved one rob you of joy if they believed they're in glory and soon will be reunited, as 1 Thessalonians 4 says. See, joy is about the heart and the Holy Spirit in the heart. Nothing can take that away from you. Nothing. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. I wonder how many of you believe that. Psalm 32:1, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. See, a lot of times, you know, people that are all, they're always doing the right thing. They're just kind of stiff. And you're like, there they are in the straight and narrow. And they kind of look like it. The scriptures say righteous ones should shout for joy. Psalm 105:3, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Do you have a glad heart? Are you seeking the Lord? Practice rejoicing because you believe truth and focus on it. And share joy among ourselves. We are to be a community of believers. What does that mean? We're a community of winners. And remind one another of that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, the very first mother church in Jerusalem, it says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. How sad it is to see Orthodox people who know all the right doctrines, expose all the false prophets, rightly divide the word of truth, stand for the right issues, but exude no joy. Somewhere in embracing all of those truths, you never understood those truths. Your family should be seasoned with joy. Your small groups should rejoice together. Your community should have a flavor of joy within them and celebration. And when you come in here to worship as a believing community, as a church, we should be rejoicing together. Amen? Second ingredient for your soul is to pray without ceasing. Verse 17. There, I already read it. Pray without ceasing. This is one of those exhortations that everybody affirms, nods their head, but it's kind of weak on the application. It may seem clear, pray, that's the exhortation, and the adverb is adialeptos, which is really the adverb ceasing with the alpha prefix in front of it, a very common in Greek words. You put the alpha prefix in front, and it negates whatever the word is, ceasing, not ceasing. And you do, and that's done in front of many words. And that's clear. But though that's clear, a lot of people ask, well, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Can anyone really do that? Some wrongly try to interpret unceasing in the absolute sense. Don't do that. We must be praying 24/7. Of course, that's not even possible. Pray when you sleep. I don't know how you do that. To make unceasing prayer possible, they try to interpret prayer not as a formal prayer time where you're praising and making confession and making requests, but as more of an attitude of dependence. We ought to always have an attitude of dependence on the Lord. Of course, that's true, but that's not prayer. Or they say we need to always be aware of God's presence in our lives. Of course, that's true, but that's not prayer. Every wakened moment we're to be conscious of God. That's true, but that's not prayer. One preacher said we should always be online with God, ready when the Spirit moves you to pray so you can instantly agree with Him. That's true, but that's not prayer. This approach kind of turns prayer into something that's mystical, and that's not what Paul meant, and I don't want you to think that way. First of all, the term without ceasing simply means ongoing or continually without interruption. It does not demand the meaning every second or every moment of the day. This word is used, for example, in Romans 1:9, where Paul writes, God is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. Obviously, he prayed for other churches besides the church at Rome, and he had other concerns besides their concerns. It doesn't mean all day long he did nothing but chant that same request over and over until he finally came to Rome. It just means that it was a constant, reoccurring request that he never dropped off of his list. He constantly brought it before the Lord. He always wanted to go to Rome, and he eventually got the opportunity to do it. By the way, be careful what you pray for. Paul was killed in Rome. That's where he got his head chopped off. The same word is used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 to speak of the constant thanksgiving that Paul offered to God on behalf of the Thessalonian church. Again, that doesn't mean he didn't give thanks for any other church, or that he always just uttered this over and over again, or that he had a mindset like that. And by the way, the second word, prayer, unceasing prayer, pray without ceasing, prayer itself, the word prosukomai. What does it mean? Well, it means prayer. That's why it's translated prayer. What does that mean? What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. It's formal. It's not informal. When you talk to someone, you should be facing them and talking to them. True enough? You have some people that mumble to you. That just drives me nuts. What'd you say? Are you talking to me? We talk to God. We're supposed to talk to God. You go to Him. You have a formal time of prayer. Prayer is important in your life. Yeah, you might have a little popcorn-like prayers throughout the day. You might have little prayers that you say, that's good. I'm not saying you don't have those. I'm just simply saying he's talking about your prayer time. He had formal, serious, well-thought-through times of prayer. And he brought these requests in them, and he prayed for them over and over again until God answered them. He didn't give up in his prayers. He didn't let a few of them drop off of his list like God's not listening to me. He would be unceasing in his petitions. Jesus said, when you pray, there's a time when you go pray. When you pray, go into your closet, close the door. Don't let anyone see you. Your Father in secret will see you, and he will reward you. There's a formal time for prayer. You should have times for prayer. You should take prayer seriously enough that the most important person you talk to throughout the week is God. You should be talking regularly and seriously with purpose to your God. That's what he's talking about. Prayer is formal. You're talking to Almighty God. Don't stroll into his office. So when Paul uses that word prayer, he's talking about actual prayer, a time set aside for prayer. Prayer is way too important to not be formal, to not be set aside as a time for God, to just do it on a wing. Catch it quickly as you're going to the grocery store. Not good enough, people. When Paul is commanding pray without ceasing, he's saying you need to keep coming back over and over, day after day, to God and bring your requests. When you do that, your soul will feast. When you do that, your soul will grow in faith as you see God answer prayer. Every day be praying, every week, every month. There's never a phase of your life where you drop it out of your life. You don't go on a 14-day cruise and decide not to pray. You don't rely on your wife to pray for you. You pray. Paul believed in it. Devote yourselves to prayer, he wrote in Colossians 4:2. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Ephesians 6:8, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You heard the word all 4 times in that verse. Some of us have Siri now to talk to, you know. She's getting so good, you actually think she's a person in there, you know. Call my wife. Boom, I'm connected. All of a sudden, I'm talking to Sue. It's amazing. We don't need that in prayer. We just lift our heads and say, Lord Jesus, receive my prayer, right? And we don't have to say, do you hear me now? He hears you now. He's up. 2 in the morning, he's up. Far away island, he's there. Anytime. And we have unlimited minutes. And it doesn't cost you a dime and you're not using it enough. Shame on you. Shame on me. Shame on all of us. Unlimited time with God and you choose, I'll catch it on the fly this morning. There's no joy in your life. There's no feasting of your soul. You're not praying. This is not rocket science. I'm not doing all that well in my Christian life. I'm not feeling all that good. You've been praying? Well, a little. Bingo! Look no further. Christians get messed up when they're not devoted to prayer. Jesus said, at all times, you ought to pray and not lose heart. It's about the heart again. There it is, the heart. Ceasing in prayer often is a matter of losing heart. You lost heart. Satan attacked you. You felt neglected. Your faith shield dropped, those darts of doubt stuck in you, and now you don't feel like praying anymore. Watch your heart. Your soul needs to feast again, regular times with God. Say, how can I warm my heart in prayer again? Pick up the word, start thinking deeply about it. It'll warm your heart to pray. Faith and love are catalysts for prayer. If you believe God is listening to your prayers and will answer them, you'll pray. If you love other people in their pain, you will intercede for them. Faith, love, you'll pray. Prayer turns believers from a focus on their little world, tiny little world that you and I live in. But there's this vast spiritual empire out there that needs a ton of your prayers. I don't know any of the believers in Tanzania. I don't know any of them in Bangladesh, but they need your prayers. I don't know too much about the church down the street and around the corner, but they need your prayers. There are other Gamma churches. They need your prayers. They're missionaries. They need your prayers. You get focused on the world and empire of God, your soul's going to feast. Hope Bible Church, pray all the time in all your ministries and all your meetings and all your gatherings. Keep praying. Third ingredient, give thanks in everything. Verse 18, give thanks in everything. Prayer is our connection to the power available to the believer, and prayer allows us to enjoy the presence of the Holy Father who's high, high, high above yet can hear us down below. So we rejoice in the Lord always. We pray without ceasing. But third, to finish the triad, we give thanks in everything. Paul's trio of exhortation reaches a punctuation mark with this one. It consummates the exhortation to prayer because thanksgiving is prayer. We never cease praying and we always give thanks. Eucharisteo, a present active imperative. You do this. This is your activity. This is commanded of you. It's in the present tense. It's to be ongoing. Don't do this tomorrow. You can never give thanks tomorrow. Every time you give thanks, it'll be today. Do it today. And get started now. Don't stop. Like Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Prayers and thanksgiving go snugly together. Some of you have a hard time thanking God. No, I mean that. You have a hard time thanking God. When you're singing with a bunch of people, okay, but when you're by yourself or you're in a conversation, it's time for you to talk. Where's the thanksgiving to God? Does it come out of your mouth? I listened to you. If you said it, I didn't hear. You know, I heard a lot about your problems. Sometimes it comes out like, yeah, and I'm thanking the Lord. It's so soft. Ooh, so soft. Barely say it. Maybe it means you barely mean it. Life's so hard. So many have neglected me. Job's wearing me down. Once in a while, but I'm thankful. You don't sound like it. Just being honest, you don't sound like it. Thanking God is an action. It's not, well, I'm thankful inside. No, it's not what it's commanding you. It's not saying be thankful inside. It says what? Give thanks. Give it to God in the presence of everybody else. Let them hear. But you're not exuberant about it. Sometimes people even mock this idea. Well, I'm not going to go around and just say praise the Lord. Why not? Well, it just sounds so. You're not thankful, are you? You mock it. I mean, it's Thanksgiving, guys. It's that time of year. It's Thanksgiving. And not even at Thanksgiving. Someone says, we're going to have a time of sharing. What are you thankful for? My family. Okay. Your heart's not right. It's like your heart's encased in sourdough or bitter herbs. Christians, you're to give thanks from the heart and mind. You're to know what God has done for you. Psalm 86:12, I'll give thanks to the Lord, O Lord my God, with all my heart, with all my heart. Hebrews 13:15, through Jesus then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Continuously. Ingratitude is one of the clear distinguishing marks of an unbeliever. In Luke 6:35, Jesus taught, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High God, for he himself is kind, listen, to ungrateful and evil men. Being ungrateful and evil go together. Romans 1:21 says, what led the entire world away from God and into pagan worship and yes, into homosexuality is being ungrateful to God. Some people are so ungrateful to God, they want to change themselves from male to female or vice versa. That is a slap in the face of God. God chose to darken the hearts of pagans because they wouldn't give him thanks. Think it's a small thing? Israelites in the wilderness grumbled. God killed some of them. Nothing characterizes unbelievers more than a lack of gratitude toward God. They take from God and say nothing in return. Remember the 10 lepers who were cleansed? How many returned? 9 of them took the cleansing. No thanks. I remember sitting at a Thanksgiving meal, if it could be called that. And the host sat down, realized there were some religious people at the table and said, well, thank God for the grub. Let's eat. That's not giving thanks. That's mocking God. That's greediness for food. In absolute contrast, Christians are to give thanks in everything. These words are spoken so much, I'm afraid it loses its impact. It comes out like, yeah. I know. I just hope the trials will end soon. You notice you talk to some people and you let them talk about what they want to talk about. Pick the topic, and what does it always come around to? Their problems. Where's the giving of thanks? Maybe they stuck it in there somewhere. In everything. En panti. It's a little phrase that just refers to every situation, every circumstance, every phase of life. While you're in it, don't wait for it to pass. While you're in it, whatever the it is, in the midst of it, that's where God wants you to give the thanks. Not, I'm thankful I'm out of it. Whew, I'm glad that's over. Praise the Lord. No, while you're in it, find the good that God is doing. If you can't find the good he's doing, find the good that he is in his character. Bring it to the fore of your mind. Thank God out loud, robustly for that. Like Job in the midst of his trials, his kids died for God's sake. Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. How does he finish that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like these two previous exhortations, this one springs from the truth of the gospel, which transcends all of your circumstances. When it goes well for you, bless the Lord. When you feel like an utter failure, bless the Lord and mean it. God is still at work. Give thanks to him. Please don't misunderstand. God's not saying give thanks for the evil. He's not saying give thanks for the temptation. He's not saying give thanks for the loss. Give thanks for the misery. Give thanks for the pain. You give thanks not for everything, but in everything. Those prepositions matter, and there's a huge difference. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the persecution, you know God is working all things together for good to those who love him, and you give him thanks, not softly, loudly. Mean it. God makes the most glorious light shine in the midst of the most dreary days. You must have the eyes of faith to see that. Don't ever deny it. My first response when I came out of the doctor's office, when they told me you have cancer, the deadliest kind of cancer, my first response was, God's the same God. When I walked into the doctor's office, joking around with my wife, I walk out of the doctor's office, nothing has changed. God is the same God. He's got the same plan for my life. And I'm not going to be afraid. We're going to see what God is going to do. I've gotten confused. Why this? Why now? Of course I have. I have goals in my life that God has put in my heart years and years and years ago to see the word of God spread, to see this church rise up in all of its ministries and become what God has intended it to do, to see all of your spiritual gifts active. That's what a shepherd wants. I want to be on the radio. I want to be on the web. I want to publish something if God allows it. I want the word of God to run and spread. I want all of that. My request coming out of that was, Lord, just please, would you bring that to pass? I have trials. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's great. You know, I don't even really know what the pancreas looks like. Mine looks different now anyways. They cut it all up. I don't care. I just know God loves me. And God will bring things to pass. And I say that by faith right now when it hasn't. They tell me that the chemo is supposed to get worse before it gets better. And I look at other people and they're my heroes. And I don't do too well being sick, but this time the Lord's given me a lot of grace. I've done a little better. And I say this in the midst of my weakness and pain, like my body's been beat up for 8 months now. I say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. And I pray you can as well.
Feeling and expressing gratitude to God in every circumstance doesn't come natural, and it definitely isn't easy. However, with eyes of faith, you can see that he is present in all situations and will use what the enemy intended for evil for good. Trust in the good character of your loving Father. Pastor Tom reminded you that God is unchanging and will never be defeated. He is worthy of your thanksgiving in all things. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you. So if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. Your joy, prayers, and thankfulness should not fluctuate with your circumstances or feelings. It may go against your natural tendency to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, or give thanks in everything. But when you choose to live this way, your soul is strengthened and nourished, and your faith will thrive. As you nourish your body with food this Thanksgiving, remember to recognize God in all things. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again, right here on Discover Hope.